Good evening and welcome to Open Air, and good evening, Jen.
Good evening, Michael.
I have an announcement to start with here.
Okay, very good.
Meditation is one of the most effective ways to train the attention to be with present moment experience. Join Sangha for our virtual meditation groups, conference call meditation sessions that take place 7 days a week. For more information about this and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight, Jen. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Jen, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And the conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great. And Jen, I think that covers it. I think we're ready to get started here.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Anne with a slightly different voice because I have a cold calling from the Bay Area.
I'm glad you told us, Anne, because, yeah, I'm not sure we would have recognized you. Welcome.
Like, who is that person with a low-octave voice? Wow. Well, I have to tell you a fun thing. I actually today mailed off my hooks to the Zen Center, so that was really fun because it's just so for people who don't know. In the latest update, I don't know what you call those things, but the update newsletter that Sherry does, she had said that you needed hooks and maybe everybody could send in a hook and then maybe they'd stay in a place and they'd recognize their hook. So I happened to be talking to a friend and I said, oh, do you by any chance have any hooks you're not using? So I was able to collect unused hooks. It was so fun, and I mailed them off today. So this is a little advertisement for people to look around, see if they don't have hooks that they can mail to the Zen Center.
Thank you for that, because I will tell you the synchronicity of that is that not even an hour ago, I picked up the first hooks from the post office.
Really? Oh, how fun. Well,
in fact, it's funny. You know us. We're not really, you know, get our mail and do our business kinds of people because we're out there chainsawing and painting and that kind of thing. So I was saying to Sherry, we were looking over at the, they're just pieces of wood, Anne. So you can't really hang your coat up very effectively on a piece of wood that's flat against the wall, right? So I said, you know, Sherry, do you think we should go ahead and get that? She goes, well, we'll probably have gotten them. We got to go check our mail. And sure enough, they've started to come in, so. Thank you for that.
That is so great.
It really is so fun. When I got them, I thought, this is brilliant, of course, right? Sherry has these ideas, puts it out to Sangha, and all over the property are going to be these hooks from all of Sangha. I just love it.
Oh, well, I also sent a picture because I happen to be at somebody's house, and outside of their door, they have this quote-unquote hook, but it's actually a tree branch that happens to it's a tree, part of a tree that's perfect for a hook. So of course I had to take a picture and send it to the Living Compassion email and say, here's something you can try. Anyway, that's just a little, and what's so fun about it is it occurred to me to mention this to a friend. So I feel like sending out an email to everybody I know saying, do you have any extra hooks you're not using?
We might not need that many.
I'll wait and see if you. Put out a call and I'll because you know the other thing is that in all those updates it's talking about recycling. So I know for a fact that this hook I had I would have never used, and this friend had three extras she wasn't ever going to use. So I sent off four hooks, and you know probably cost the price of one.
That's exactly the sentiment. Here are these lovely things that life has created in whatever way that life has, you know, provided this hook. And how often things just sit there and they don't get used and they don't get, you know, they don't get to participate in life in the way we project everything enjoys to participate. I was just, after I went to the post office, I also stopped at our local, you know, it's around again, so where things are recycled and, you know, you can donate your things and buy things. And I was talking to the fellow there about exactly that, saying all these things that get saved from going in the landfill and all of the things that get saved from having to make a new one. So.
Yes. Yes.
A win well, all the way around.
You let me know, because it would be really fun. If you do need more, I mean, I don't want to inundate you with hooks, but if you do need more, I can definitely put out a call for hooks.
Okay.
And in fact, that one year I did a fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project where I just sent out a note saying, okay, do you have a bunch of stuff you're not using? I'm going to do a yard sale and whatever proceeds goes to the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project. So clean out your closets for a good cause. So I just went and got people's stuff and did, you know, nobody had to deal with it. They just said, here. It's a great funneling of energy.
It truly is. And somewhere in there, Anne, I think there's also, I was thinking about this with the picking up the hook. There's something about, you know, we talk about conditioning's trying to hook us, right? So we're getting unhooked from conditioning and giving our hooks back. I don't quite know what the metaphor is there, but
I
know there's
very good. That's very good. I like that.
Yeah.
It's so simple, you know, and it's just like, oh, we have this need. Let's put it out, see what happens. And then the thing about it is just the fun that comes from that. How much fun
exactly.
That is.
Exactly. So much more fun than just buying a generic, it's all the same, you know, thing of hook.
Yes. Yes. And I am just so appreciative of and enjoying and just feel so incredibly blessed by the fact that I'm blown away that we get to be with Sangha no matter where we are every single day. Well, at least five days a week, twice on Tuesdays. I'm just blown away at the level of conversation that we're having as a Sangha and the incredible seeing that is going on. And I just feel like I'm starting practice. I feel like a beginner, but in a really good way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I do. I mean, that's where we always want to be, right? Right at the beginning, right now, right here.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I've talked, some people know this about me, but I'm a yoga practitioner and I practiced yogas for years. And during the pandemic, I got into it so much that I've been doing classes at least 5 days a week. You know, I do it on Zoom. So, and you know, I've been practicing for a long time and I just recently realized that I'm not straightening my legs in yoga poses. I mean, it was like there's a certain part of my leg that I have not been activating. And it was just like this whole world opened up to me of a place I was not paying attention. And that's what I feel like is happening in my awareness practice as well, is that it's like then I started looking at, well, what is the equivalent of not straightening my leg in awareness practice? And what is it, where can I look more deeply at what I'm not seeing?
Yes. And you know what's so fabulous about that, Anne, is the process of it that you're describing, because I project you're delighted by it, right? I mean, to be new, to be starting at the beginning, right, in such a good way.
Yes.
And how often when we see things, what the voices try to train us to is to hate seeing that and to feel like, my God, I've been practicing yoga for how long and I haven't been straightening my legs. But with that attitude of mind of, that is amazing that I could see that new thing even now after so much yoga practice. And that's such an amazing process, both that in itself, that we get to keep seeing things, and that we can be excited and enthusiastic about that process.
Yeah, the way that you said, you know, we get to keep seeing things. I remember years ago, I said to Sherry once in a guidance appointment, I think I was at the monastery, and I said, I feel like I have to learn all over again. And she didn't miss a beat. She came back and she said, how about you get to? And I just, I thought, wow. Yeah, and I heard somebody actually say to me today, oh, I have to go to my nephew's, baseball game this weekend. I said, how about you get to?
Yeah, really.
What a difference, right? What a difference in attitude.
So different. So incredibly different. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just want to, the only other thing, you know, people have talked about this a lot, but just what a difference in quality it is when I put myself in the queue, but I, you know, I don't get called on, I'm just listening to the show, but I'm in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
Myself in the queue and I'm listening to the show, completely different experience.
Yeah, truly. Because people talk about this all the time. You're here, You know, it's a funny way to say it, but the stakes are higher, right? In a really good way. We're called to be here.
Well, it's like, I'm sorry, Jen, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Well, say that last thing. You said we're called to be here, and what?
I think I was just saying, you know, as opposed to if we're not in the queue,
yeah.
Which is not to say that you can't be here, not in the queue, but if you're not in the queue, you know, the stakes aren't as high. No one's going to call you out. You're not going to suddenly be unmuted.
Yeah, it just feels like a different quality, a different level of participation.
Yep.
And if I'm not able to be live on the show, I mean, if it's live, I put myself in the queue. But a lot of times, I will have to listen to the show later, and it's just a different experience. So, just another encouragement to me and everyone to put themselves in the queue when we call in. So anyway, I wanted to call in to participate because, you know, it's a lot harder to participate in the morning show because there's so many of us. But I wanted to call in and tell my little story about mailing my hooks today because I'm so excited.
Thank you for that. Yep, me too. It's so funny because it's real once the hooks start arriving, right? Then it becomes real, and then you call in to talk about it, and it's all perfect.
Something out in an email or a notice, but you think, huh, is anybody really going to read that? Is anybody really going to do it? But, you know, I got it, and I thought, okay, that's on my list. I'm going to do it. And I started looking around for hooks, and then I thought, oh, I didn't even realize I had that hook. And so anyway, it's just fun and another great way to participate. So thank you for that.
And I happen to know you'll get to see your hook in person, but that's another incentive for people to come to this summer, to Summer of Sangha, and find your hook.
Right. Well, I might not see it. If I'm there, I might not get to see it, it'll be fun. I'll look around for the hooks I've sent. Oh, can I recognize one of them? And it's apparent. Well, I don't know, but the other ones are kind of standard. But anyway, it's just all really fun. And what a great way, a great attitude of mind. You know, it's such a better place to be than in the I have to. Oh my God, we have to go by, or whatever it is. I have to do this, or I have to, rather, I get to. How fun. So, you know, we have practice to thank for that attitude of mind. So, just really, really, really grateful.
Yeah, me too. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. And it sounds like participation is the way to go, Jen.
It is to me. I will tell you. Yeah, it is to me.
Yeah. In my experience, also, it keeps me engaged and present, and that's what I want out of my life. So it's good.
Yeah, and fun.
Yes, indeed. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Jen and Michael, it's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey. I have been really enjoying this week's assignment in the year-long retreat. I've really enjoyed it.
Me too. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, of course, every week we get this incredible new gift of, you know, just, I mean, just the, everyone is just so packed full of good stuff.
I know. And
this one, I just feel like it's been so clarifying for me. I was just recording about it a little bit before the call. So compassionate aspiration that harms no one is the focus of the week. And, and what I've seen in it, for some reason, it just makes it so clear to me. You know, I have two choices. I can either be caught up in whatever, selfish desire, you know, ego, whatever it is, or I can be here. I was saying, I know Sherry's been saying this for decades, but for
familiar.
Yeah, right. But for some reason, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, I wonder if a piece of it is that you're having the experience, right?
So
that assignment just tripped it for you in that magnificent way that can happen for us. And you just, you know, it's not that you don't, quote, know that, and, you know, you've heard Sherry say it, and you've probably said it and felt it, and but that little thing gets shifted, and there you are, and you're experiencing, there, that's the kind of everything's about me, and, you know, I got to do stuff for me, and, oh, I'm terrible, or, oh, you know, I'm better, or whatever it is, right, everything revolving around me and what I want and what I don't want. And the shift from that to just being here, just life.
Yeah. I've been seeing, you know, one of the things I've seen this week is that it's like, you know, I could gotten caught up in these dualities. I'm sure I will again and again and again. But where, mm-hmm. okay, do I want A or do I want B?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what what this, but it's both of those are what I says he wants.
Okay.
And but again, what this assignment is just been helping me see is that, well, actually, both of those, you know, both of those fall into the suffering bucket, you know, and they're only two buckets. And both of those, the I want A or I want B, which is the right one, which is going to give me which is going to be the best way to, you know, to get happiness. Well, neither. Those are both in the that selfish desire that doesn't ever deliver what it promises, and it's all about sometime other than now anyway.
That's right.
And so so they're just two buckets. They're everything. It just seems like everything about life. There's only two choices. I know, again, this is like decades worth of hearing this, but really, like, okay, yeah, it's either be here or, you know, go off with trying to get what I want. And I don't have to do that. It's so relaxing not to try to go after what I think I want. Relaxing.
It is so relaxing. And it's unbelievably freeing too, isn't it? Because then whatever's here, it's so funny to say it, but at least this is my experience, is what I want from the perspective that you're talking about. It's just here. I mean, it really, it's very, very difficult to describe because our language is all about pronouns, right? And the subject of the sentence and that's always going to be me, right? So whatever's here, that's what I want to do. Well, that's not really a perfect description of it. It's more, you know, what you were describing, right? There's the genesis of two bad choices. Here are the two buckets. Do I want A or do I want B? Well, the reason those are two bad choices is exactly what you articulated, because okay, maybe one of those is going to be a slightly longer set, quote, satisfaction than the other one. That's basically what the bargain is, right? But they're both train wrecks headed for suffering. And so you can step outside of that completely. That's what it sounds like the realization you're having is.
Oh, yeah. Because it's just... It's like that stuff doesn't even exist.
No.
You know, no, in this moment. It doesn't, I mean, it may come in the very next moment, but that's okay because then I just drop it again.
exactly, because it still
whenever
doesn't exist. Even if
what's
the
that?
Conversation, because it still doesn't exist. Even if the conversation starts in the very next moment, it's still only a conversation about an illusion, a conversation about a certain, you know, the point of view from last week, right? The perspective, the projection, right? I'm seeing the world through that conditioned lens. It's not reality.
Oh, yeah, that's a great connection. Right. Yeah, I hadn't seen that in that way. But right, yeah, because it is right. It doesn't. Right. It only appears to exist because when the attention is on that some kind of conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then when we're in one of those, you know, where it feels really real, oh, yeah, am I going to do A or am I going to B? You know, all we can realize, hopefully with a great deal of compassion and patience, all that's happening here is I'm believing the illusion. That's all that's happening.
Yes.
So
yes.
That doesn't necessarily, well, I mean, if we can see that, that's huge. And I mean, those are some of my favorite moments. Sherry talks about that as that front row seat in practice. But to be in something that actually still does feel really real on some level, no, I really do hate this. I really don't want this. And simultaneously to be able to sort of laugh and see, okay, that has to be ego, because that's not life. Life never goes that way. I don't ever, when I'm here and present, and I don't experience life that way. It's just not how it works. So to be in that,
yeah,
believing that, and at the same time to realize that it's an illusion is very powerful.
Yeah. I was seeing the other day that, you know, one of the things that it speaks to part of what you're saying, that, you know, I heard Sherry one time, more than one time, talk about looking around for things to let go of.
Yeah, right.
And to me, the similar thing occurred to me with this. It's like, well, you know, I don't have to look at every content about what I might want or not want. I can just be looking for, you know, when I notice desire, when I notice that kind of selfish desire, and I can drop it, and that's what I have been practicing actually. It, because I see the process. It doesn't matter what the content is.
Mm-mm.
I'm seeing that process of desire, and again, I don't have to. The content is irrelevant. I see the process, and the process is what I'm disidentifying from. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes complete sense. Absolutely, and it's why things like, you know, in practice, we'll talk about, you have to make a decision. You know, am I going to move to New York or am I going to move to Los Angeles? Flip a coin. And people go nuts, right? What? Flip a coin? That's a huge decision. But what difference does it make? I mean, truly,
wow.
If it's all a workshop, it's all a classroom. It is. It's
wow.
Huge, isn't it? And it's so freeing.
Wow.
And
wow.
If we're adequate to all of it, it's enormous.
Wow, so good. So good. I will just say one last thing, and that is that also this practice for me, it just feels like it has made it really hard for self-hate to get at me. Because it's so relaxing, and it feels so good simply to have the intention that I'm going to drop selfish desire, no matter what it's about.
Yes.
And I know I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
And so it really has the hard, self-hate has really a hard time of getting any footing, because I know I'm doing my best. I know what my intention is. I know what I'm practicing. So why am I going to believe that I deserve to be beaten?
It's so good, Jeff, because that is the one way, and a very common way, I think, that ego can take over a process like you're describing, to start to say, well, I mean, do you think that's the most compassionate thing? Or, I mean, are you being selfish right now? I think you might be. I think that's a selfish thing you're doing right now. I think you're only right to get in that conversation, which will make it take this unbelievable process of freedom and make it all about me. And what you're describing, when you don't go to the self-hate with it, and when you get it, no, this is my intention. I mean, I don't know how, quote, well I'm doing. I'll never know that, but I don't even care. It doesn't matter, because I'm never going to stop. And it's like Anne said, you know, however many decades into yoga, I'm going to realize I can straighten my leg even more. Good. That's great.
Yeah. I'm just practicing.
Yeah.
I'm just practicing. That's all I'm doing in this moment.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much, Jen.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Sorry. Thanks for calling in.
Yep. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. And we're just here practicing. And what a miracle and privilege that is, huh?
I know. Was it on this morning's show, Michael, I think, where Sherry was talking to someone and it was another just like that? Maybe they were talking about just like that thing. And it's one of those, yeah, we're just practicing. And it's so huge. We're just doing this enormous, like, life-changing, most exciting, most challenging thing a human being can do. We're just doing
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Just that. Just that. One moment at a time.
One moment at a time.
And Jen, we're going to go to a good news update, and I'm going to bring on your guest here now.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm turning it over to you, Jen.
Okay, perfect. I'm so pleased to be joined this afternoon by Emily, who is here to speak with us about her experience of visiting the new home for practice in SQIM. Welcome, Emily.
Hello, thank you.
So that was very exciting to have a visitor come to the new practice center in SQIM. And we thought it would be fun for folks to get to hear your experience of that.
Yeah, well, it was a really good experience. I can't wait to do it again. So I drive through SQIM fairly often on my way to Port Angeles, to a place I go. And it just occurred to me, because every time I drive through, I just kind of wonder, like, where is the monastery? It's here, I'm close. And so I just, I couldn't hold back anymore. And I wrote and said, could I stop by? My wife and I are driving up to Port Angeles for the weekend. And you said yes. And so that started.
And one of the things, Emily, that was so helpful, and it's helpful now to hear you describe it, you know, the sense of there you are driving through SQIM. Of course, we have no idea you're driving through SQIM. And so it occurs to you to say, well, I wonder if I could come visit. And, of course, the answer is absolutely, right? This is the home of practice, and you're a practitioner. And I think what you were saying, it just didn't occur to you.
Right. Well, I didn't know if that was allowed. I know there was an official opening date, mid-June. I think it was just like, okay, I don't know when I'm going to be able to go up there. And it was the weekend before my wife was starting her treatments. And it was just sort of like, let's do this, or at least ask. So.
Yes, at least ask. Yeah. Well, that's a huge piece of it. Yes, just find out. Because you're right. You know, we do have an official day when we're having Sangha begin to really come formally. And, I mean, goodness knows we're going to, have done whatever we've done to the property at that point, and we're working on it until then. But it was so fun to have you come and get to see it, and certainly for Sangha to know, you know, if you're in the neighborhood, to let us know.
Yeah. Oh, it was so fun. It was so good for my heart to connect. And I got to sort of relive that joy I first felt when I heard that the monastery was moving to SQIM, and to just take that next step and see that you really were there.
Exactly. It wasn't just on paper. There actually is a home of practice. Yeah.
And I also saw how easy it was to get there, too, because I always think of SQIM and Port Angeles as sort of the same area, but it's a little farther off. where I usually drive. So it just felt really close and really like, oh my gosh, this could even be a day trip here.
So yeah, well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because one of the things we, you know, when we were in Murphy's, we had quite a lot of Sangha in the Bay Area. San Francisco, the South Bay, Marin County, all those places. And those folks, you know, I mean, a little bit of a stretch to come out for the day, but you, I mean, you could do it. People did do it. But having that sense of close by Sangha, and there's quite a few Sangha who are in the Seattle area. So same thing. You know, certainly this summer we're going to, I mean, this is Zen, right? So we don't know, but Sangha are coming, and I'm sure we will be meditating together and doing all kinds of practice things together. And then hopefully that, you know, people who are able to come when they're able to come will continue to pass through and be part of the property. And part of it, I think one of the things that was fun when you were here, Emily, is realizing, you know, you realized you could just put your overalls on and come out and work with us for the day.
Yes, totally. I saw how hard everyone was working, and I thought, well, I could help. I'm just like, I can pull up weeds. I've got some basic yard working skills. So I can do this stuff. So,
and you know, back to the conversation we were having with Anne about the hook, it's so fun to participate in that way. And as we're doing all of this, we just keep saying, you know, the thing that many people said this about the property in Murphy's, because so many, I mean, again, the property in Murphy's had nothing on it. I mean, this Sangha has a long history of beautifying and creating Zen centers out of, you know, old things or, you know, just land and that kind of thing. And people would talk about how that was a big part of why they felt like it was theirs and they felt at home there, was having participated. And we have that opportunity again here.
Yeah. I feel like that property is ready for Sangha.
Yep. Well, we feel that way too, in the sense that Sangha are the people who are going to make the property. So,
yeah. It's such a beautiful piece of land. I just love that. That's what I love about Squim, is just that open feeling. There's a lot of farmland there. So you get a real sense of sky, and that the water is right there. There's just that open feeling to the water, and then also you get the trees and the from the mountains that are in the other direction and that are on the property. So there's just a lot going on right there.
There's a lot going on right there.
I was envisioning all these beautiful places to sit as I was walking around, like, oh, here's a nice spot. And you know, there's just a lot of room for visions there.
That's right. That's what a good example, right? So you come out for the day and help us with, oh, we could put a place to sit here and a place to sit here and a place to sit here. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then we take our recycled lumber and we put some nails in it, and there you go. Now we've got a place to sit right there.
Yeah, I can't believe you guys do all that stuff. that rundown garage that started as a rundown garage looks so nice. It's like a bit of the monastery there.
Exactly. And again, I mean, it's fun. You know, that's the reason we do it. It's very fun. Yep.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I guess it won't give anything away, but we talked on Good News, I think it might have even been on the April 18th show, on International Day of No Self-Hate. We talked about that we're going to have a history project newsletter that comes out as part of the rotation of the various newsletters that come out. And, I mean, to look through the old newsletters and the photographs, and this is way, way back. This is before there was any monastery, when they were just buying the first property to be a Zen center back in Mountain View. And there's the attitude of mind right there at the very start. And that will come out in our next history newsletter. But just that description of, we do all of this. You know, we create Zen centers and we, you know, raise money for it and all of that. Yes, because we want a Zen center, because we want to be together and practice together, but it's the process of it and how it transforms us as we're doing it that is really amazing. That's the real thing.
Well, I feel so lucky to be close by, to be able to be a part of it.
Well, and we feel lucky as well to have had you. It was definitely, you know what? It was just like the hook, Emily. Having Sangha drive onto the property like that makes it feel real. It really does. It feels like here we are. We're Sangha. This is our home.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Yeah. That was a good feeling. Thank you again for
letting
me come.
And I know we'll be seeing you soon.
Yes, hopefully.
Okay. All right. Well, take good care, Emily. Thanks so much for being on.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you.
Great. Thank you, Jen. That was a fabulous conversation. Really enjoyed that. And I'm looking forward myself to being there in a couple months. It's going to be great.
Indeed. It really will be, Michael. I mean, great. You know, I sound like a broken record probably, but it feels huge, really, because when you do the move and the pandemic together, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get some goosebumps going about Sangha showing up this summer. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And, you know, I'm on the other side of the country, on the East Coast, and yet from the experience, from the conversation, I feel like I'm right there.
Yeah.
So that's a gift in itself.
It is a gift. And it's also a gift, Michael, as you say that, to be able to practice in whatever form we're practicing in. I know you used to be one of those people who was very physically very close to practice.
Yes.
And that's what practice was then. And now it's different. And this is what practice is now. And to practice with all of that and really receive the gifts of whatever practice is right now is really, it's huge.
So true. And Jen, we have another caller here.
Okay, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from Seattle.
Hi, Anna.
Hey, there we go. Hi, Anna from Seattle.
I want to come with you.
Good, and I know you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm coming with you, Jim. Yes. I had put myself in the queue earlier, and then I took myself out because ego was becoming really loud, because I never know what to say, you know. Even though I think I'm practicing, I do see, I have some insights sometimes and stuff like that.
Well, here's the tip, Anna. Yeah. You called into the radio show and you put yourself in the queue. So that's pretty clear information that you're practicing.
Yeah, but anytime I want to report something, you know, ego gets so loud because my brain just gets blank. And I even tried to like write something down beforehand. What could I report on? But it's always kind of, you know, it's still like the same karmic difficulty as always.
You know, exactly. And you know, Anna, I remember, Sherry's done this any number of times, but on a specific retreat, I remember it, where she was talking about, I mean, thank goodness the karma doesn't change for each of us. Thank goodness we, you know, the same thing come up again and again and again for us, because otherwise it would be really hard to catch on to it. And so if we can take it to that next step and realize, yeah, of course, because, you know, you hear other people, right? There are themes to what everyone calls in about. We each have our themes. But it tends to be, with other people, we tend to have compassion for that. with ourselves, the voices can often get us. I mean, you're talking, you haven't seen through this yet, and it's still the same, and blah, blah, blah. Of course it is. This is the, these are the things that I have to work with for whatever reason. So I'm working with them.
Yeah, and I think one of the things is about the reporting, you know, like talking to people and giving an update, or like when someone asks me, like, how are you doing, you know, or that is one of the karmic things, I think, that, like, I just have nothing to report in that moment, you know, or it just, like, would take a little bit longer for something to come in.
Yeah, and you know what? It's like, what if that was just completely okay? So the voice says, you know, oh, so you decide you're going to call into the radio show, and the voice starts in. You have nothing to say. I can't believe, right, and shouting at you from what you say. The voice gets really, really loud. So first of all, I mean, it's impossible to concentrate on something, to, you know, have a clear mind when conditioned mind is at you like that. It's just never going to happen. So then it starts yammering you like that, and it's just, okay, well, that's fine. Luckily, this is a forum where I don't have to have anything to say. I can still put myself in the queue. And not only can I put myself in the queue, but here's what we know, because it's happening right now, we'll have a perfectly lovely conversation.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, and I just wanted to feel connected, you know. I just wanted to be part
of
it.
And that's a perfectly good reason to call in. There, you know, now you are now unmuted. Great. Hi. Here I am. I just wanted to feel connected. Great. That's plenty, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah, because you don't always have to talk, you know. I mean, yeah, like, it's also fine, you know, just to be. Even though on a phone call, sometimes it feels hard, but, you know, if no one ever talks, but just to be, but it's okay if that happens, yeah.
It is. It's absolutely okay. We're all meditators, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes people will call. Well, okay, so that reminds me of another conversation. And again, I think it was just this morning. Oh, I can't remember when it was, Anna. But anyway, or not even yesterday. So Sherry was talking to someone, and they were talking about how, I mean, going through a really, really challenging content in their life. And it's all well and good when, you know, you can sit quietly on the cushion with it. But how in the world, I mean, I can't spend my entire life just sitting, doing nothing, paying attention to this and meditating. And Sherry's point was, we can bring the mind of meditation to everything. So sitting on the cushion is not the only meditating we're doing. You know, as we're awareness practitioners, we're walking around with that same attitude of mind, just here, just noticing, just here.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
So the voice will tell you, you're not a meditator. But the only point there was, you know, of course, sometimes people will call in brand new to the show. They're nervous. They can't catch their breath. And so we just take a quiet minute. Great. We're all practitioners of awareness. We're all going to take that quiet moment to look inward and to just notice.
Yes. Yeah.
And with something that that sort of central to the process of suffering, so for you, it's this, okay, you're on the spot, you know, what are you going to say? Oh, I can't remember what I'm going to say. You know, my brain's all foggy. With something that's that core, and it can so easily get us, to practice having that be completely all right is huge.
Okay,
it's so big. You know, it would be like, what, for someone else, maybe they have kids and they get really tortured about when they raise their voice with their kids. So there they are, they raise their voice with their kids. To not go to a place of self-hate with that, it's game-changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you'll start to see things you never imagined seeing because there's not the same relationship with it. If it can't convince you that it's a terrible, horrible thing, that you can't remember what you were going to say or can't articulate what you want to say, if it can't get
or
you
just
to
don't
say,
have any, or just don't have or, any, yeah, don't have anything
or
to
just
say.
Don't have anything to say. If it can't get you with that, oh, you're going to start to see so much about the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Wouldn't it be nice just to be free? Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Truly. Because it is possible to be free, even though that voice won't quit doing what it's doing.
Yeah.
Right? So the voice says, you don't ever have anything to say. You say, I know, it's not great. I love it. I can just be here and be relaxed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't put yourself in the queue if you have nothing to say. Really? Star 6. You're now unmuted. I have nothing to say. Okay, great. Let's look at that. And we have this whole long conversation about that.
Yeah.
Proving that the voice does not know what it's talking about.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's pretty interesting how intense the voice was and how I felt horrible, miserable, and like depressed, and I took myself out of the queue. And then I started feeling excited again when I heard about Squim and all that, and you know, and visiting and put myself back into the queue. But it was, yeah, pretty a short little intense ride.
And do you see how amazing that is to see that?
Yeah.
I mean, really, I would put this archive, radio archive, on your playlist to listen back to, because that is so huge what you just articulated, Anna, because the way you described it, you know, so you put yourself in the queue and then the voice starts in. I mean, you don't have anything to say. And even if you do, you're not going to remember it. Once you get unmuted, you're not going to be, and you never do. I mean, you can't, and it goes on and on, and you get all the way to feeling depressed and, you know, upset and suffering, and then mm-hmm. your attention shifts with talking about Squim and the new home of practice, and there, the enthusiasm is back, the life force is back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, truly, the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention. That's what you're describing, an experience of that.
Yeah.
And that's how important it is for us to train the attention,
mm.
right? So we realize, oh, okay, I'm obviously headed for one of those train wrecks again because I'm feeling depressed and I'm feeling like I'm terrible for X, Y, and Z reason, whatever that is for each of us. And then we know, just like we talked about earlier with Jeff, okay, I'm believing something that isn't true. I can get out of that conversation because it's happening in a conversation. That's another thing you just described.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And just one last thing I want to mention. If someone, because I sometimes, never mind. It's nothing.
Okay.
Other than in the mornings, I'm not able really to listen to the radio show, and I sometimes I have like 5 minutes only to listen to the radio show. Yeah, and I was just like, if they see me, you know, like just calling in like for the last 5 minutes, or like it's because of my work schedule. I don't. It's not because of ego. Like. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Because I'm just like there for like 5 minutes at a time, or.
Julie, no.
Yeah.
Julie, we won't take it personally that you got bored or. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. In fact, that what I hear is, oh, I have 5 minutes. Great. I'm going to participate.
Yeah.
Those 5 minutes. Yeah. Love it. Excellent.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
Anna. Can't
wait
to see you in Squim. All
me
right.
too.
Bye-bye.
Can't wait to see you all.
Gosho.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. And I am unable to mute you. So if you could hang up and call back in, that'd be great. And Jen, that was so fabulous. And we talk sometimes about lowering our standards, but what I heard from you is let's just drop them completely, or, you know, send them out in the next trash bin and
right.
just move on with our lives and be here.
You know, because that standard is only there to obscure what's actually
yeah.
here. That's the
yeah.
only reason for it. Because as Sherry always says, the voice could care less about any standard.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it does not care. The voice, God knows, does not want, in Anna's case, for her to have anything to say. The only reason for that conversation is that she won't have a brilliant conversation like we just had.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
That's so true. So true. And Jen, we have time for at least one more caller here.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. This is Sandy.
Hey,
Sandy.
Sandy.
Hey, so I'm grateful to be unmuted, and it's funny, I was listening, and I was like, I won't put myself in the queue because I'm too spun up and identified with something, and then I was like, well, all right, let's give it a go. So...
that should be like the flag in front of the bull, right? Wait a minute. I think when I'm really identified with something and in it, that is the time to put myself in the queue.
Yes, yes. I'm told I won't be the right Zen person talking about the right topics in a calm and enlightened manner. But yes, I think I have some family coming to stay with me, and they're going to get here in a couple of hours. And we had a whole disagreement about the number of people who could stay with me, and now I think through this somewhat indirect text that what I said would not be okay. There's just going to be people who show up at my home from out of state, and I'm going to have to, like, at 8 p.m. just deal with the fact that they ignored what I said. And
We call that a workshop, right?
It is a workshop, yeah.
That sounds like, Sandy, it might be a capital W workshop.
It is. I feel that.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, it is huge that you called into the radio show and put yourself in the queue.
Yeah. And I'll try to let go of... a conditioned hope that resolution will, or, you know, wisdom will be bestowed upon me, and I will know what to do.
And, you know, who could blame her for wishing, for wanting that?
It's true. It's true.
Right? Because to follow that for a minute, Sandy, if there were some thing that you saw in this call right now, what would that get you?
Yeah, I mean, what it's supposed to get me is like a clean resolution to the problem where I get exactly what I want with no conflict.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, I don't know if you've heard the whole show, but when we were talking to Jeff earlier, the buckets, that's one of the buckets. What it's basically saying is, okay, there's some way for this to work out for me.
Yes.
And, I mean, it's challenging, at least it is for me, when I'm in a position like you're describing, to really hear, well, a discussion like we had with Jeff. The freedom that's possible is that it's a workshop. And that however it goes, however you are, however, quote, they are, whatever happens with all of it, is in the biggest sense completely all right, which is not the pseudo place you were talking about before. Oh, if I call into the show and I'm identified, then I'm not the good right them student, you know, having the good right experience. And we realize what an oxymoron that is, because the good right experience, that's not them. right? So then you get to have, so in other words, okay, so they show up and you, whatever, get really irritated or whatever your, you know, however that would tend to go for you, whatever happens, you have some reaction that ego pretends is completely unacceptable. But actually, it's not at all unacceptable to ego. It loves it because it knows that you'll then believe the beating. But if you don't, it's back to what we were just talking about before with the last call. If you don't, if it plays out, however it plays out, which, I mean, not, you know, another important thing is to remember we don't know how it's going to pan out at all. No idea. Even on the content level, let alone the process level. But let's say they show up and you have whatever reaction you have that supposedly is unacceptable and you just say, okay, well, I'm just going to see whatever I see with this.
Yeah. I mean, it's sometimes, yeah, it seems like if I'm trying to put something above awareness first, then I'm going to get confused and I'm off track. And what I'm putting first in this situation is like doing it right and meeting the standard, because
that's right.
There's this kind of self-policing of like, I need to be the right person. I need to set a boundary. Yep. I need to blah, blah, blah. But then also I shouldn't get too angry and blah, blah, blah. Like, so it's, and I, as long as I act the right way, then everything's okay. But it's kind of like we were talking about in the radio show this morning where Sherry was like, you know, we could just say to ego, like, thank you, you know, next time, instead of giving me a review after the fact, why didn't you tell me what to do? So,
tell me the perfect solution, ego, then I won't even need to call into the radio show. You just tell me, ego, how this will all go. Yeah. You know, what you just said a minute ago is so enormous, Sandy. If I put anything above awareness, it's not going to work. I can't remember how you said it, but that's my experience of it. It's basically, again, what Jeff was talking about earlier. It's this week's assignment. If I want something from not in the sense of, it's very hard to describe, because that can seem like, wow, okay, so all of life is going to be grim and terrible and I'll never get anything I want. It's actually the complete opposite of that. But if anywhere in it is what I want, basically what you said, in this case, you realize that what the I want is to do it right and, you know, have my way and not have any conflict, we're sunk. And the thing that's amazing about it is it just won't work. It's like science. So it doesn't have to mean that I'm a bad or selfish person, because that's what we're conditioned. All of us are taught to have that orientation to life, at least in this culture. We really, really are. We're very trained to have that orientation to life. So of course we do. And that's just the way it is. But the good or the bad news, you know, depending on where you're coming from, is it just will not work. It's not a way to live a happy life. It will not produce a happy life.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I guess it comes back to the like workshop with a double capital W, like, It's an opportunity to really just be present. And there's a way in which these kind of intense situations are almost easier ones to practice being present, because I'm so aware of just like what I'm feeling. And it's actually something else I've been looking at in practice is just kind of slipping into unconsciousness, like on, you know, evenings or weekends and with screens and what have you. And like, those are a little stealthier because it's just sometimes harder to like catch myself in the act of doing that, to just stay aware, I guess is what I'm saying. And this one is like, well, there's a lot to be aware of. So it's
that's right.
It is an opportunity.
It's a huge opportunity, Sandy. It is. So two things. One, someone was talking earlier today on this show about the difference between listening to the radio show and listening to the radio show when you're in the queue. And what you're describing is you're in the queue right now. You're in life's queue, big time. You're on call. So that awareness is going to be heightened. So you're right. It's an enormous opportunity, especially if you can bring all the kindness and unconditional love and compassion for Sandy as you can possibly muster through all of it.
Yeah, I guess that's the compassionate aspiration.
Exactly. Exactly. You've got your...
My cat's coming to... He's breaking the environment.
Right?
He doesn't understand. So, yeah.
No, I think... Actually, I think it was a sign of agreement. That's my
oh, I see. I like that. I like feeling like he's on my side.
Oh, you know he is. You know he is. Yeah.
Well, I see we're at time, so maybe I should let you go, but thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Sandy. And do report back. You know, the one other thing actually that dropped in when we were talking is, you know, so it's likely to be a challenging evening. And that's okay. You know, I mean, whoever said that you know, we weren't going to have challenging evenings and days and all kinds of things. You know, you're completely adequate to that. You know, you're all right. You're certainly spiritually fit for it. So, great. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, because the self-heating orientation is like, I'm inadequate, but I need to get it together and act more than adequate. And it's totally unacceptable to be inadequate, which I obviously am. And that's, I guess, the practice opportunity is not just presence, but to care for the person who is going
through.
That's
right. That's right, because it's just such utter hogwash. I mean, you won't be able to listen back to this because the archive won't be immediately available, although I think there might be a way on the website to do it. But I was just going to say, listening back to this, because what a disrespect of someone's dedicated awareness practice it would be to believe that she is not adequate to this situation.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a lot of times the gift of RL for me as I listen to this person's voice, and I'm like, this sounds like somebody who's fine. Like, I'm not, you know, like this. So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, boy, so you've got a couple hours still. This might be a good time for a recording. You know, just get a listen to that person who called into the radio show and put herself in the queue to talk about all of this, to use it as a workshop. So you get to hear the sincerity of her practice.
Okay. Yeah, ego would have me believe I'm sort of like a 3 out of 10 person, and just it's helpful to not kind of have that seep into my bones, that self-hating message.
That's exactly right. Yeah, because talk about utter hogwash. Wow. I mean, that's okay. Last one, and then you're right. We do have to go. That reminds me of we were in group one time, and someone was talking about something similar, and, you know, blah, blah. And Sherry had this image of, so there we are, right? Up with God, right? After all this is over. And, you know, God, it's amazing. That was the amazing world that you created, just beautiful, and skies and oceans and, you know, forests and mountains, and I just, wow, birds and trees. But, you know, just a couple little tweaks you might have made. And just here's what I, you know, me, and I wasn't quite on track with this, and I'm not really sure. How ludicrous, right?
Yeah, yeah, it makes the ego orientation really clear. Yeah.
Very clear. Very clear. Yeah. All right, well, have fun in your work. Okay, maybe not fun. Have a great W workshop, and let us know how it goes.
All right, thank you very much.
And you're allowed to have fun. If fun pops up, you're allowed to have fun with it.
I'll bear that in mind in that event. thank you so much.
Thanks, Andy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sandy. And Jen, two things about that. Sounds like you're suggesting, again, to drop the standards completely, which I love. And yes. And second thing, I will post the archive immediately in an unedited form. So usually 5 minutes after the show is over, that on the archive section of the website at the top there.
Ah, excellent. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, Jen, for joining us tonight. Thank you, everyone, and go happy.
Go happy. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.